Ball has played a number of artists in the course of his career. Ellis Lowry and JMV Turner for the cinema, and now in tonight's drama, Francis Bacon. The story of how Francis Bacon became the first Western artist to be exhibited in the Soviet Union is introduced by the person who made it happen, art dealer and gallery owner James Birch.
Well, my earliest memory of Francis Bacon was when I was a child. He would come over to my parents' house. They rented this cottage in a place called Fingeringhoe. And I remember he used to come over. He was staying with his two other artists in Wivenhoe, which was across the water from Fingeringhoe. A strange-looking man, in a funny way. So he sort of, when he talked, he sort of swayed a bit, like a sort of tree in the wind. And so that's what I remember. I bought a book on his work from a bookshop near me in Primrose Hill. And, you know, everybody sort of said it about nightmarish work. And to be honest, I didn't think it was that nightmarish. I mean, I think probably I can now see it would absolutely horrify some people. Both my parents and my brother and sister were all artists, or been to art school. And I haven't been to art school. And I never really had the sort of confidence to do that. But I always wanted to be involved in art. In one way or other, I always thought I'd love to have a gallery. And it's sort of one of those weird things happened that I managed to open a gallery at the end of the King's Road. We wanted to start showing contemporary young artists, which I did like. My first show was Jennifer Binney, who was part of the Neo Naturists, and boyfriend Grayson Perry. In March 1985, Gorbachev had come into power. It was stagnating, the Soviet Union, and there was not a lot happening. They were spending all their money and budget on nuclear weapons, which was a sort of, you know, arms race between America. So Gorbachev wanted this to stop. So he brought in these glasnost and perestroika, which meant a new spirit of collaboration and openness between East and West was promised. The idea of having an art show was a sort of rather remarkable idea, because I wanted to give the people of the Soviet Union something completely different that's coming from the West. Otherwise, they would have no idea what was coming from the West. I mean, they might have seen images of Western art in art magazines that people left in hotels, and they sort of got distributed around. And in fact, there were magazines that had been so well thumbed that they're practically falling to pieces. This is when Bacon in Moscow was born.
Bacon in Moscow, adapted by Stephen Wakelam from the memoir by James Birch, with Luke Norris as James Birch and Timothy Spall as Francis Bacon.
Rarely does an artist achieve so much recognition in a lifetime, yet few painters have been so unwilling to discuss the meaning of their work. People have described your work as catching the neurosis of our times, that perhaps no one in our century has presented the human predicament with more insight and feeling. It's evil, it's cruelty. Is that the impression you intend to convey with your paintings?
No.
You mean people are reading meanings into your work that isn't there?
I paint entirely to amuse myself. I follow my instinct. People, for some reason, buy it. If they didn't, I would have to make my living another way. I have to put my paintings out, some of them, anyway, to make money.
You destroy a deal of your work?
Most of it. My only pleasure is to go on working with the hope of doing something that pleases me. That doesn't happen often. If anything works, in my case, it's from a moment when consciously, I don't know what I'm doing.
You choose to paint pictures which, it seems to me, constantly touch on religion. There is a conscious choice there.
Well, there are images, like a slide, that comes down in the brain from the whole tradition of Western art. They are unavoidable.
A pope like a caged animal.
It was taken from a painting by Velázquez, which I worked on from a reproduction, amongst others, that I discovered one day in my studio. Rather tattered reproduction.
An image to which you have returned, obsessively. A screaming pope.
It was an attempt. They are an attempt, failed attempts, to make a scream as beautiful as a Monet landscape.
So, not an attempt to capture pain and despair?
I paint what seems to me to be the facts. You see, painting, to me, is largely the result of chance, and the discoveries, if that's what they are largely a result of intuition. The mood you're in, and sometimes the movement of the brush, just a more interesting image, not the one intended. Chance, accident and luck. I'm not a postman with a message. I'm not a propagandist. I have no agenda.
As a boy, I never saw the nightmarish quality in his work. Before he was Francis Bacon, great painter, he was a friend of my parents, a benign figure. There were parties, and when they'd pack him off drunk into a taxi, he'd get out the other door and head back into the fun. I don't know about all that emphasis of his on chance and accident. To begin with, certainly, but early. I think that's kind of camouflage, self-protective. I think towards the end, it's difficult for an artist not to be aware of what he's doing, what your audience, the art world, expects from you. I'm a gallery art dealer. Not Sotheby's or Christie's. Chelsea, but the unfashionable end of the King's Road.
Yes, please.
I was in the business of discovering artists, building my own stable. This was Thatcher's Britain. I didn't want to be rich, but needed to survive. Before the internet, a lot of my job was meeting people, making connections.
James! Oh, good to see you.
Bob, I was just having the feeling I don't know a soul. Bob Chensiner liked to describe himself as a carpet salesman. In fact, carpets and textiles from those Soviet republics you've only some vague idea of.
So, yes. What have you been up to? Where have you been?
No, Tashkent. Yeah. But I called in at that show of yours.
Thursday? I didn't see
you. You were busy. Everybody looks as if they're having a good time. Are you drumming up much business?
Didn't sell a thing.
That's a pity. It's fairly experimental stuff, though, isn't it? Ceramics.
There's some very exciting work. I think there's a couple of them going to have major reputations, but not an easy sell.
No, I can imagine.
And what I'd like to do is take them to New York, if I can find the right space. We might do better there.
Why New York?
I know the place a bit. Spread the word. New British artists with the emphasis on the British. Youthful. Extraordinary.
Have you thought about Moscow?
Moscow?
Why not? Glasnost and Perestroika. It's all in flux.
Is it?
Yeah, it couldn't be a better moment. I mean, most Russians wouldn't have an idea that artists like yours existed.
You mean wacky?
Avant-garde. Outre. And good for you. Get in early, you'd be the only game in town. I know a man who could fix it. Interesting guy. He's the one who looked after me when I was there. Minder. Bit of a chancer, really.
What do you mean?
Takes things about as far as they can go within the system, without incurring the wrath of the old guard.
Right.
Oh, he's also KGB, but wears Easy Rider specs.
Very chic.
This last trip, we just missed the last onward flight to, it's called Ashgabat, only by a matter of minutes, but, you know, long wait. Klokov gets hold of, commands this military vehicle, shoves us in the back and gets the driver to drive out on the runway right in front of the plane as it's taxiing. He stands up in the back of the Jeep, points to us and shouts out, "This is a cultural delegation!" So they drop down the steps and let us on the plane.
Klokov.
Sergei. His parents were friends with Gagarin, the cosmonaut, and his grandfather controlled the Soviet nuclear fleet.
Yeah.
Could have destroyed us all.
Not very good for business. But what's he got to do with art?
Officially, he's a diplomat with special responsibility for cultural relations. He's coming to Paris for some Soviet architectural exhibition. Worth contacting him while he's around. Do you want me to mention you? I'll be talking to him.
Was how the Moscow thing started. Via Paris. I never needed much excuse for a trip over there. Though it all seemed a bit unlikely. And when it came to it, I was feeling a bit rough, fluey, and nearly didn't go. But in those days, I didn't worry about things not working out. I was 29, I was trying to make things happen. Nothing to lose. It was like a spy novel. He'll be at the Russian delegation with beard and aviator specs. Say Bob sent you.
Je cherche Monsieur Sergei Klokov.
Oui, là-dedans.
No mistaking him. All alone at the end of a large, bright room like a stage set. Tsarist beard and all in black. Out of the windows, gleaming behind him in the winter sun, the École Militaire and Eiffel Tower.
Mr. Klokov.
James Birch.
Younger than I'd imagine.
I'm the friend of Bob Chensiner. He said you were the person to talk to.
Yes.
Shades and with a man bag. Black leather, one of those with a strap over the shoulder. Well, I suppose my first thought, this is 1985, was that he looked like a hairdresser.
Well, what do you think?
He's gesturing at a large oil painting on the wall of a wooden dwelling, like a gingerbread house in a birch forest.
The Dutch,
It's very, pleasant.
You're very polite. It's shit. And I'm the right man to talk to.
Well, good.
What art do you want to take to Moscow, James?
10 new, young artists.
10?
Whom I'm lucky enough to represent.
Pretty painters?
Personally, one or two of them, yes. But not artistically, no. Or that wouldn't be the...
Revolutionary?
Some of them, perhaps.
Good. We need revolutionaries. We don't have any in Moscow.
A door opens in that stage set of a room. A woman enters. Early 20s.
Elena.
Almost supernaturally pale. Dark hair cut in a geometric bomb.
Please, James. This is Elena Khudyakova.
Hello.
Sculpted cheekbones and Christian Dior sunglasses.
In Moscow, James, Elena is a high priestess of fashion design. She was in charge of designing this exhibition.
I haven't had a proper look. You understand English?
Yes. But speak not so good.
Your first visit to Paris?
No. Once.
And will you be staying for long?
No. When exhibition finishes, I must go.
That's a pity.
No, it's a great privilege for Elena to be here. Her boyfriend is the head of a local communist party in Moscow.
No idea what that signified. Klokov not her boyfriend, then, was what I thought.
Follow me.
And what do you make of a woman whose first unprompted remark to me was, "Do you know Pink Floyd?"
Pink Floyd?
Lunch. Steak frites. Elena, who had come with 3 large carrier bags, is seated next to me.
I met Roger Waters at a party once, but didn't know who he was.
I also met Gordon Sumner once before he was Sting. And Boy George once held the door open for me at the entrance to the Royal Academy. I knew who he was.
Excuse me.
And this is meat and drink to Elena, who, during that strange afternoon, goes through 3 changes of clothes. And it happens between acts in plays or on the catwalk.
Why does Elena keep disappearing and changing her clothes?
We will have our photograph taken shortly.
The afternoon was becoming a blur. There'd been vodka, Russian, plenty of red wine. I was also coming down with something. I'm showing Klokov slides of my 10 artists.
Here, let me show you some of the pieces.
In London, you would call these avant-garde artists?
You don't think so?
I don't know. These are plates. Danone plates?
Yes, it's his specialty.
A teacup, a naked man on the woman who
is... Yes, he is very frank. The Greeks similarly decorated the... He's called Grayson Perry.
I see.
He also does teddy bears.
Teddy bears?
Children's woolly toys.
I know what teddy bears are, James. He's an anarchist?
I think that's what motivates him.
In Russia, you see, conformity is a virtue. Yes, very spirited. And have these artists shown before?
Yes, all of them in London. One of them in New York and one in South Africa.
South Africa? Great. Why don't you say Israel as well? These countries are not friends of the USSR. Shall we have some more wine?
Elena is returning to the table, this time in a black silk shift dress. Winter white shoulders. My brain, cotton wool, mesmerized, is asking, why is she so beautiful? How am I going to get to see her again?
Qu'est-ce que vous voulez?
Le même, monsieur, s'il vous plaît.
You like mineral water?
Yes.
Petillant.
And would you call this group of artists surrealist, James?
No, I think they'd resist labeling them.
Good. You see, life in Russia is surreal enough already.
In all our dealings which followed, I never saw Klokov drunk. He did, however, need to leave the table.
Elena, I don't know if you've any time at all before you go, or any plans for tonight, maybe. If you're free, I was thinking of Le Bandouche. It's the best nightclub in Paris right now. Madonna goes, and she's in town.
Do you know Madonna?
No. No. But I was once in a queue for the cinema in New York, and she was right behind me with Sean Penn. I think they were married, or just about to be.
They made her wait in queue?
In New York, it's the system.
Oh.
You buy your cinema ticket, and then you go outside again. But are you free tonight?
They will not let me out. We locked an apartment after 6 o'clock.
Nous entendons photograph.
Oui.
You will need to write a letter, James. And it must go to the right people, or it will be lost forever. On no account, write to the Ministry of Culture.
No?
No. You must write to the Tahir Salahov, the head of the Union of Artists. Only the Union of Artists deals with the work of living painters in the USSR and internationally. I will explain to you how to word the letter and address it, but on no account post it.
On no account?
It will not be delivered. The only certain way of it reaching the Union of Artists will be to give the letter to somebody who is going to Moscow and ask them to drop it off.
Are you serious?
Do not think of posting the letter. It will be impossible.
A photographer has arrived at the table. Where from? I'd no idea. I look at Lena, but her face is set on the camera. As I came to understand it, having her picture taken was always a completely serious matter to Elena.
So, how'd you get on with Glockoff?
That was a rather drunken lunch. He just waved the bill my way. Fair enough, but are they hard up?
I don't think they issue the KGB with credit cards.
Clearly.
He's a useful man to have on your side. One of the gilded elite.
I can see that. What about that little man bag?
That's where they carry their vodka.
For emergencies?
I think more for general use. And wait until you get to Moscow. You'll see. Are you going?
Oh, well, nobody said no yet. I need somebody to take a letter to the Union of Artists. It needs to be done by hand, apparently. I mean, when are you going?
Not until the summer, to be decided. And I don't know if it'll be Moscow. Depends. Look, give your letter to Johnny Stewart.
Johnny?
He's the icons guy at Sotheby's.
Yes.
He goes to Moscow all the time.
The world's leading expert on icons was revving his motorbike in a little garage in Notting Hill.
You're James?
Yes.
Sorry. Greasy hands. I'm just tuning her up.
Huh?
Yeah. I suppose it's odd, isn't it? Or maybe it isn't.
What kind is it?
It's a Triumph. Do you know anything about those bikes?
Nothing at all.
Expensive hobby. And messy. You got a letter for me?
Mr. Postman.
Who's it to?
Tahir Salahov. He's the head of...
No, I know he is.
Have you met him?
No. It's too grand for me. I'm just the icons chap.
What's it like?
Over there? Vast. Half-starved. My line is historical, but it's always been this terrifying, glorious, ludicrous place. Oh. You get on a train one end, go through about 6 time zones, and then, pum, it's the Pacific. People talk about the hinterland, but that's it. That's the country, really. Then there's the top and bottom end, the Arctic, the Muslim countries, the Silk Roads, Georgia. It's not surprising democracy hasn't caught hold. Tsars or dictators is maybe the only way the whole caboodle holds together.
You mean...
Yeah, repression. Put the fear of God in people. Mm. Although, mind you, he's outlawed. Officially, at least, which is good for my business. Any old icons? No, none of it makes any sense. Good luck to Gorbachev. Jesus God. Anyway, I'll get your letter there.
Thank you. Mm. When do you go?
Next couple of weeks. But don't expect a quick reply.
6 months followed. I thought that was it. Tant pis. That spring, I was invited to a celebratory show, 15 of Francis Bacon's paintings. It was good and typical of him to remember me.
An extraordinary thing happened. I was walking.
It was crowded, as these things are. He was surrounded by admirers, the great and the good. It was no more than a glance of recognition and a gesture that he was being a bit crowded and pressed. I had little idea then that I was already in the middle of a process that would slip Francis and some of those self-same canvases through the battle lines into Moscow.
Bob Chancellor?
Bob, I've had a telegram, but I don't know what it's about.
Go on.
Dear Mr. Birch, USSR Union of Artists heard of you and your proposals. Stop. Whenever you're in Moscow, we'll, spelt well, be glad to negotiate with you. Best regards, Anatoly Ryshnikov, head of International Department. Is that an invite?
You've cracked it.
Have I?
That's the handwritten, gold-edged invitation. Oh. That's your passport to the Soviet Union.
So I just turn up in Moscow?
No. You have to join others on a red carpet.
What red carpet?
You have to be part of a group.
But I don't have a group. It's just me.
You can join my group if you want. I know it's like a kid's playground. I'm flying to Moscow with two National Geographic journalists. You can come on that. Klokov organised it. Your new mate.
Huh.
But you'll need to get your skates on. We go in June. June the 11th. You take the telegram to the tourist agency. It's the only one in tourism.
If approved by whatever ministry, they would send back provisional permission for my visa. Then you visit the consulate.
You are to be guest of...
the Union of Artists.
What kind of artists?
Emerging artists. I suppose painters.
David Hockney?
No, sadly.
The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics had smiled on my application.
Chocolate biscuits come in useful.
What price?
In case you're hungry.
Is there some sort of famine?
Scarcity. You can't bank on things day to day. But bribes are a good idea as well. Ballpoint pens.
Okay.
They're portable and don't cost as much. They could be for you.
I get you.
And duty free, of course. Mm. But you can get that from the airport. Whiskey.
I thought it was vodka.
Makes for boozy variety. They have vodka for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and then suck on a lemon for vitamin C. Oh, and American cigarettes.
Mm.
Camels, Marlboro. And that's the way you get a cab. You waft your cigarette packet. And Mr. Klokov likes Leon Perrins, by the way.
What's the...
No accounting for taste. Apparently it's what Kim Philby most missed in Moscow. Taste of the old country.
Summer in Moscow. Grey. Military vehicles and a missile launcher with two green rockets angled to the sky. Soldiers. A wire fence, a birch forest beyond. Klokov, aviator specs despite the gloomy weather, is waiting beyond security. He pulls something from his jacket pocket, holds it up briefly, and we're waved through.
What did he just show them?
That's his KGB badge.
One last gateway. I'd been more nervous about the cigarettes and whiskey in my bag surviving customs than anything else.
Sorry, I think it's my lighter. I'd forgotten.
Give them the lighter, James.
Of course. Here.
Now go through again. Отступи назад!
No, what's he saying?
Step back. Что у вас в карманах?
Steady, easy now, steady on.
What else are you carrying?
Your boots, James.
Boots?
Clodhoppers.
Oh, yeah, maybe it's my shoes. I think my shoes may have metal tips.
Take them off, James.
Быстрее! Снимайте обувь.
James, I can wave my KGB badge, but it won't work if they think you've brought a bomb on you.
Yes, no, I'm sorry about that.
Klokov drove us into Moscow.
What's a memorial, Sergei?
It represents tank traps. This is the spot where the Germans were halted in 1941.
They got this close?
Yes. Only a few kilometers from the Kremlin walls.
It's massive.
We'd been assigned to the National Hotel, overlooking Red Square and the Kremlin. Opened as a luxury hotel in 1903, just in time for 50 years of revolution and war. Lenin, we were told, lived in room 107. Probably when the rooms were bigger. My room was tiny, sliced out of a suite, maybe. The fridge was empty. There was the smell of rotten apples in the bathroom. Something Bob had mentioned was the effects of vodka on the digestive system. He'd also warned me that the room would be monitored for sound.
Hello? Anybody there?
I so want to grow.
Elena, to my surprise and pleasure, joined us for the meal that night.
Grow?
Develop. My business.
Mm. You sell your line of clothes in Moscow?
It is difficult here.
To set up a business? Does your family, I mean, are they able to help? Or your boyfriend?
My father is dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did he do?
He invented the Khudyakova washing machine.
Oh, right.
When I was a girl, we would go sailing. on the Volga. Oh. They were the happiest moments of my life.
And your mother? Is she still alive?
Not good. We are not friends.
Oh, that's a pity. But you're allowed to travel outside the Soviet Union.
True, Sergei.
Which must
are restrictions.
Oh, yes, I understand. You can't...
Do you read The Face?
The magazine?
It is very prestigious.
Yes. Very readable.
Would you help me get story about my designs into The Face?
Ah, their offices are not far from where I live.
Oh, I give you photographs.
I could try.
Because of a meeting tonight, I have something for you. It is a list of books you must read.
For?
If you are to understand the Soviet Union.
It was a long list of, at first sight, serious literature. Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, War and Peace, The Brothers K.
Have you read any of these books?
A master at school read us an extract from Crime and Punishment, The Murder. It's not exactly light reading, Elena.
In Russia, we cannot laugh all the time. I think we are more real than you are.
Yes, but we're not all superficial. It's not...
Sometimes there are not even medicines. If I am ill, I can cure myself with herbs.
Well, that's good.
I know the traditional ways. I can weigh myself by putting a piece of string about my waist.
Well, I shouldn't think that would be much of a problem. I mean, your weight.
She said, knew how to boil an egg without timing it. A useful attribute. The breakfast room at the hotel is as big as a football pitch. Next to no one around, early. And my egg is hard.
Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Did you sleep well?
Bloody awful, but survived it.
How's your egg?
Hard. Needs excavating.
Have you asked for another? We're not short of eggs in the Soviet Union.
I think I'm being ignored.
Официant.
Да.
Этот господин почетный гость Союза художников. Принесите ему яйцо, которое он сможет съесть, не твердое.
Сейчас.
Не твердый. How soft?
Running.
Смятку.
Смятку, понял.
Two, if that's possible.
Два яйца.
Два. Хорошо.
И свежий кофе, горячий. И еще чашку.
Свежий кофе, понял.
And then we'll find some space for your pots.
We hailed a taxi without the help of a pack of cigarettes. The traffic was heavy, with smoke-belching 1950s vintage lorries and square larder cars. All were grey or brown. Sitting next to Klokov, I tried a tease.
I like the suit, Sergei. Where did you get it from?
Paris.
Can you smell? Chanel.
I smell different in Afghanistan.
Were you...
I was in the army.
Not in administration.
No. Front line. It was part of my training.
To be a KGB officer?
Mm-hmm. I was a flamethrower.
Jesus.
I torched at villages. The enemy.
An odd, oppressive morning. A tour to find some spaces for my exhibitors.
This was once a stables, used by the Tsars, and now a gallery used by the Union of Artists to show their work.
Propaganda graphics covered the walls.
I don't want to waste your time, Sergei, but this is far too big a space for what I have in mind.
There was a list, a long list, in Cyrillic. Endless, dismal venues.
Needs a fresh coat of paint, but no.
Ordered, too ordered, dull, outsized.
It's like an aircraft hangar.
For the first time, my spirits fell. How on earth would one of Grayson's small pots be scaled? If I couldn't find the right space, this was a deal breaker.
I think my artists would be overwhelmed, I'm afraid.
I see. I was provided with the list.
I understand. Where are the places where you show modern art? I mean, avant-garde art. Is there any?
Avant-garde art, James, is not ideologically correct.
Bourgeois.
Retrograde.
Retrograde. Sounds like a Soviet city. There must be some. You see, I think... What's worrying me is... I think my artists undoubtedly qualify as retrograde in your terms. Incorrect, ideologically, and bourgeois. Though, that's not the way they would see it. They might admit to being offbeat.
There was once a show, an unofficial exhibition of underground artists. It was organized in a forest.
Mm. Open air?
Outside Moscow. An unused area of the forest. It was attacked.
Criticized?
Bulldozed. Water cannons, the paintings burned.
And the artists?
Arrested.
Imprisoned?
Then extradited. Mainly to Israel. There are no independent artists in the USSR, James.
I can see why.
All artists are employed by the state via the Union of Artists. The union organizes the exhibition and purchases their works.
Ideologically correct works.
You have to join the union. You are then provided with a studio.
I'm having doubts, Sergei. I just haven't thought this through. In the West, if you don't like a piece of work, art, you just, you know, move on. Or ridicule it. Next. Happens all the time. The state survives, legislators grind on. And artists, young artists, generally struggle. It's what they're supposed to do. We have something called the garret. Think of bedsit rooms and meals out of baked bean tins. Or art schools and getting pissed.
Artists here also get drunk, James.
I know. And they have more reason to. But look... Could I see some of your artists? I mean, those working today. What they produce in these circumstances. Would that be possible?
James.
You see, I'm wondering if my kind of show is going to work here. It would be an honor to meet some of these artists and talk about their work. I remember an apartment block on the outskirts of Moscow. Doors lined with leather to keep out the drafts, stale cigarette smoke, and that all-pervading smell of rotten apples. But an empty whiskey bottle on the stairs, a sign of prosperity, Klokov told me. I've forgotten the name of the artists, two of them.
Я Клоков.
А, конечно, понял.
А это мистер Джеймс Бердж.
Мистер Бердж?
Джеймс.
Пожалуйста, входите. А, это мой сын, Николай. Он лучший художник, чем я. Ну, или во всяком случае будет.
Father and son.
Hello. Good to meet you.
I'll call them the Pizarros. There was a poster of a Pizarro, Camille, on the wall. Landscape and peasants. There were two easels set up. One seemed to be of a birch forest. Pretty, unexceptional. The son's was more abstract, though it was hard to tell.
He calls it Moscow Nights.
Black, dotted randomly with points of color. Klokov has taken his sunglasses off for this one.
The title, Moscow Nights, has many meanings.
Okay.
It's a famous song about love.
Sergei, could you ask the artist a question for me? Which artists in the West do they like? Contemporary artists, not just impressionists.
Кто из современных художников Запада вам нравится? И не говорите импрессионисты, пожалуйста. He will show you.
What's this? A much-thumbed art magazine in German.
Oh. Oh, right.
Occupying two-thirds of a page with accompanying text. A black-and-white reproduction of Francis Bacon's study after Velasquez's portrait of Pope Innocent X.
The Screaming Pope. I know this. Or at least one of them. There's a series. The original. Is a meter square.
Оригинал один квадратный метр.
I wonder if they have any idea of the scale of the thing. Or its color. It's stunning. Would you ask?
Знаешь ли ты его цвет?
Purple. And gold.
Филетовый и золотой.
And the scream is taken, or inspired anyway, from the famous shot of the woman who's been injured on the Odessa steps in the your Eisenstein film.
Eisenstein. Крик взят из фильма Айзенштейна. Потемкинская лестница.
Да, да, да.
I think she's a nurse.
I think she is.
Медсестра.
Да, я знаю. Я знаю.
Well, Francis will be thrilled to know he has such admirers in Moscow. Please say that
you
I'll
know
tell him.
Francis Bacon?
Yes. Ask would you? Why they like the picture?
Почему вам нравится эта картина?
What?
They would not want to give an answer in case it is a wrong opinion.
There are no wrong opinions. Look, Francis doesn't like the picture, this series. He once said that to me, but he's wrong.
Вы можете говорить все, что вам нравится. Я здесь не для того, чтобы докладывать вас. Ваше мнение интересно моему английскому другу. И слух у меня не очень хороший.
Понимаете, если ты советский человек, этот художник рисует, как будто он с тобой, как будто он тебя понимает.
He says that if you are a Soviet, the way the artist paints, you feel like he's with you.
Mm. Он видит темноту. Темноту в обществе, темноту в человеческой душе. Как будто вообще без кожи.
He sees the darkness in society, in human souls. There is no skin. Нет кожи?
Он снимает кожу, убирает ее, понимаете? И как будто то, что он оставляет, это просто голая кость.
He takes the skin away, yes. Rips the skin of things. There is no disguise.
Gosh, that's very... And yet in life he's quite good fun, or can be.
В жизни он веселый человек. Is he an artist of yours, James?
Oh, no, family friend.
You know, James, if Mr. Bacon made a show in Moscow, I'm sure the queues would be longer than for Lenin's tomb.
Whiskey, Sergei. No mixers, I'm afraid.
This bathroom is substandard, James.
Well, you said it.
Is this aftershave yours?
Yes.
It may be leaking.
Yeah, well, it might help with the smell in there.
I think I can explain.
Something to do with vodka, Bob says. And I've poured you a whiskey.
Thank you. I think I can get you a better aftershave than this.
I'm sure you can.
These are for teenagers.
It was a Christmas present.
And you're missing a bath plug.
Well, my shower.
Come and have a look. I just wanted a word where we're not overheard. People have not seen a Western artist here. Not a contemporary artist and not as famous as your friend. If Mr. Bacon was to come, it would be a big sign for the whole world to see that perestroika is working. We're not going back to how it used to be. It would show, demonstrate that we are moving away from this.
I don't think Francis is very sympathetic to the Soviet cause. We don't talk about these things, but I think I know that he doesn't have a communist bone in his body.
But to bring Mr. Bacon to Moscow would be a great help.
I don't think Francis has the slightest interest in perestroika. Why are we speaking here about this?
There is a serious risk. The people above me think that all Western artists are decadent, bourgeois monsters.
That describes Francis to a T.
I cannot be seen to push provocative ideas too strongly, especially if they're linked to a capitalist country. It would look as if I have private business. Who knows? I could end up on a train to Siberia. You know Mr. Bacon. It must be you who proposes it.
Bob said he thought you walked a fine line.
I will have a word about the plug.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Yes, I think that's where the smell is coming from. I left the aftershave and the smell for the next lucky occupant of the hotel room. My ticket and passport taken from me on arrival, which had worried me, were happily returned. Blighty had settled in the aftermath of a general election to a third and last Thatcher term. She wanted to go on, she said, but this wasn't Moscow and the Kremlin. My guess would be that Francis, a member of the awkward squad but no proletarian, would have voted for her, even while referring to her as a silly cow, or worse.
Francis might join us.
No. He's away at the moment, in Paris.
Oh. Right, I'd rung John Edwards, Francis's companion and gatekeeper.
How long?
I don't know.
Not quite lovers, though no one was sure. Lived separately. John had another boyfriend whom he'd met when he was 15.
He's gone to see his dealer. Well, that's what he said. He's not been very well lately. Asthma. So he decided to clear off to Paris. I can't stand Paris.
What's wrong with it?
I always get bloody lost. Huh. And he loves showing off his French, Jesus.
You don't speak French?
Parlez-vous. Mind you, he says I can't speak English either.
Reputedly, John could neither read nor write.
His main problem is he's not very happy with what he's doing at the moment. He wants to cut the whole lot up.
Oh, God.
He says, why don't I do it? He wants me to do it. He wants me to put an axe into it.
Do you know what? Which one?
And he's been doing a self-portrait lately. So it's no wonder he's miserable. But as he says, it's being so miserable that keeps me cheerful. So what have you been doing with yourself?
Well, that's what I want to see him about. Look, I don't want you to say anything. Just tell him what you saw James, casual. And he's saying it would be nice to see him again when he's in the mood. It's been a time.
Yeah. Why the secrecy?
I just don't want to ring him out of the blue. An aim in view, then I've got something to put to him. He hates being pinned down, you know what he's like.
Yeah, I do.
Let me know when he's back, would you?
Suppose I imagined at one time I would head off into the countryside with my paints like Van Gogh. But it turned out to be South Kensington. I mean, I had an idea of setting myself up in Paris. I'm very fond of Paris. And that seemed the answer to whatever the problem was at the time, but it was all too beautiful.
Yeah, that's a song.
Is it? I got it all set up, furnishings, curtains, parquet floor. It was the Marais, newly fashionable. Couldn't work there at all.
You like a bit of chaos, Francis? The frying pan to mix your paints in? Dustbin lid to draw a circle?
I've not seen that for a bit.
No, they've probably collected it.
Different kind of collection.
Very good. So how are you, James?
Well, and you're looking very well yourself.
Yes, that kind of you say so. It's sitting in a Parisian cafe watching the passing parade. No one takes the slightest bit of notice of you.
You're in the papers over here. Did you see them?
Miss Marlborough says so.
One of Francis's paintings, a triptych, had just topped the sales in New York. His face had been in the papers.
This old pudding face of mine, I really...
Which he didn't like.
What do you do? I'll go around with a bag over your head. Now, shall we have another bottle of the red while we're making up our minds? The Pio Cesare.
Si, signore.
That's fine, yes, and then we'll order.
I've had a rather interesting time of it myself lately. I've been in Moscow.
Moscow?
Your big news there. And not for the prices you're fetching.
Well, I would rather disapprove of that, wouldn't they?
Not inevitably, not these days.
Didn't they sell off some of their Impressionists to pay for the revolution? Mm. Weren't they broke at the time?
Well, I mean, more than the Impressionists. Gainsborough's Blue Boy, didn't that get snaffled up? And Rembrandt, the Polish Rider.
That they call the Polish Rider. It's very fine, but not certainly a Rembrandt. Did you get to the Hermitage?
Just Moscow.
I'd love to visit the Hermitage.
The Pio Cesare.
Yes, that's fine. So, what were you doing in Moscow, James? Were you work or...?
I suppose I was finding my way around the art scene there.
Is there one?
It's rather set in stone, as if modernism never happened.
Well, that might be a good thing. You know what we used to call this fellow, John? I've just remembered as a child.
What?
Rawhide.
Oh, TV? Clint Eastwood?
I was obsessed by the television programme. I like being called Rawhide.
Not Clint.
It was completely inappropriate. He was an angelic-looking child.
So what went wrong?
I'm thinking I'll only get one shot at this. The subject is running away from me.
Do they still do cowboys?
On television? No, I don't think so.
I only watch the horse racing.
Well, that's horses again.
How things go out of fashion. I went to see that Warhol film, Lonesome Cowboys. It must have been very bored. No, actually, I'd rather enjoyed Flesh. But I'm not sure who makes these films anymore, whether he farms them out... No, I'd love to do that. Say to people, go away and do this or do that. It was desperately dull. No activity at all.
Sex.
I suppose that's what you were waiting for. Mm-hmm. I didn't stay till the end. There was more activity in the cinema. People, men, changing seats, and the lavatory seemed very popular.
You should have joined in, Francis.
I was quite wanting a pee, but thought it might be misinterpreted. I didn't dare go near.
You should have tried the ladies.
Yes, full of friendly gentlemen, I suspect. Useful cubicles.
Where was this cinema?
Pentonville Road, King's Cross. I'd been all prepared to concede that Warhol's films were better than his paintings, but no, worse. Much worse.
His reputation seems to be quite high in Moscow. His and yours were the names I heard mentioned. The only names. Several of the artists I met.
Doubtful judgment.
You're one of their heroes. They see your pictures in battered art magazines. They'll pass round from hand to hand until they fall to bits.
Oh, that's gratifying.
Have you thought of putting on an exhibition there?
In the Lubyanka, isn't that where they put homosexuals?
I don't think your sexuality would be a problem.
No, well, what are you allowed to express before the gulag comes calling? Collectivism. It'd be a nightmare to live there.
But things are on the change.
Mr. Gorbachev.
I think there's a hunger for someone like you.
Oh, Warhol. He was quite good with all the early, more accidental stuff before the Marilyns and Jackies. Dreadful rubbish.
Forget Warhol.
Oh, I do. I hate that New York scene. Doodles, scribbles.
Well, they pay enough for your paintings.
The Marlborough fear I may be getting too expensive. Had I thought of cutting the triptych down? There's only boardrooms who want big paintings.
Look, it's not New York or Paris, but I'm sure an exhibition could be arranged. Moscow. You'd be the first contemporary Western artist to be exhibited there. They did Turner a few years ago, and that was that. It's an extraordinary place. They're on the move, and you'd be the only game in town.
You sound very enthusiastic about this, James.
I'm going back in a few weeks. I'm sure an exhibition could be arranged.
You do have contacts out there?
The Union of Soviet Artists. The state acts as both agent and gallerist. They deal with everything.
It sounds monolithic.
There are ways through it, and I'm dealing with someone who knows his way around. His grandfather controlled the Soviet nuclear fleet. Could have finished us all off years ago.
Well, it's very kind of him not to.
This man, his grandson, is very cultivated, with the best contacts which you need over there, admires you, had no idea of our connection, and would push for an exhibition. We get on well. He's that new breed, an outrider for the new reforms on the cultural side. Now, I think a show would have a phenomenal impact. It gives the Soviets an opportunity to see a different version of the world. All it needs is for the wheels to be set in motion.
What a clever young man you are. I think it's a marvellous idea, James. Now, shall we order? My only experience of revolution was in my childhood. We had a big house outside Dublin, and my father would lift a corner of the curtain to watch shadows in the grounds. IRA men who at any moment might burn down the house. My mother, all her time there, never sat with their back to the window. They do sausages, John. Though they don't call them that, of course.
But where?
There, look, the third one down there. You see, I have no interest in collective enterprise at all. I'm not a team player. Who's that awful that football manager who yells at players all the time? Opinionated.
Brian Clough.
I just walk out of the dressing room.
Had I had a yes or not? Best not to press. Assume a yes.
I'm going for the muscles, so to speak. James?
Come on, Roy.
In those days, you couldn't just ring up Moscow. You had to book a call.
Hello?
Sergei, Francis is interested in doing this exhibition.
Ah, I see. Good.
So what do I do next?
Which means, of course, more bureaucracy.
Okay. You must get Francis Bacon to write a letter addressed to you, saying he wants to have a show.
Right.
He will then also want a covering letter to the General Secretary of the Union of Artists with a proposal. He is called Tahir Salahov.
Okay.
Do you have a pen there, James?
Yes.
A letter?
Along the lines of, well, you're intrigued by the idea, flattered by the idea of an exhibition.
Chuffed? I suppose I am quite chuffed. That might get lost in translation. Look, you write the letter, James, and I'll sign it. What are you doing this evening? You could do a bit of gushing about my creative debt to Soviet filmmakers. I once wrote to Eisenstein.
Did you?
I was quite a young man. Wrote in English, as far as I remember. No idea what I was doing, though. I think I was angling for a job. I was anybody's, you know. He never replied.
Probably never got there.
The speculative trip to Moscow had been expensive, and I needed to make some money. I knew if I wanted the galleries to survive, I would have to make the move to the West End, and the sooner the better. Happily, my artists had not set great store by an exhibition in Moscow, and along with the gallery owner and friend, Paul Conran, we opened Birch & Conran Fine Art on the ground floor of converted film offices on 40 Dean Street. I was 30,
and also began keeping a journal at that time. Karl Marx, when he was in London, lived just up the street. I make a note of this. The gallery was almost directly down from the Colony Room, the after-hours drinking club of which Francis was a founding member. A shabby Georgian house, narrow stairs, a threadbare carpet. The afternoon sun barely penetrating the cigarette smoke. Francis, standing at the bar, where he could always escape, or turn away from unwanted hangers-on.
Suppose my awakening, whatever you want to call it, was in Berlin. They were having a terrible time. More champagne, Michael, but it was party time for me. When you're young, you think about enjoying yourself. But when you reach my age, you realise there's only a certain amount of time left. When you're young, you're thinking of happiness. James, here's a young man. Do you think of happiness, or am I just talking bollocks?
And earning a living, crossed, Francis, you
know. What are you having to drink?
Trailing round, or rather drinking round, after Francis.
Here we go.
He doesn't like fish.
Don't you?
No.
Wheeler's Oyster Bar was Francis's favourite restaurant.
I'd go for the number ones, James. Sweeter.
Bare wooden tables, 25 varieties of sole, something like that. Next to no vegetables, unless you counted salad and boiled potatoes.
I suppose I think of death every day. Not obsessively, but it's there. It's always been there. It's work that interests me, entertains me. A mind that's ticking over and a pair of legs that gets you about and a working bladder, I suppose. All that comes in useful. Now, I'm not completely an alcoholic. I never touch a drop alone.
Shadow. You paint it.
What do you mean?
Death in your paintings.
Oh. Is that what it is? And sometimes paint them out. I really wish I thought of that myself.
Soho days and nights. A pattern. Champagne, followed by a meal in those posh restaurants he favoured, and a further round of the clubs and pubs.
John doesn't like my painting.
Don't you?
No.
He thinks I can't draw.
You can't.
I can do ears. Look, ears are John's best teacher.
Waiters were charmed with generous tips, 10, 20 pound notes scattered.
Another bottle of the yellow bouquet.
Do you know what Thomas Mann once said? He was 76 and won the Nobel Prize, I think, literature. Said he'd give all his fame, all his renown, for a glance from a good-looking waiter. Mm. Don't think he probably meant more than a glance.
I thought he was married. Children.
A couple of them were homosexual.
Homosexuality is my nature, Francis said. As long as I can remember, wouldn't have it any other way.
I worked on myself at an early age to be as natural as I could and self-taught as an artist.
Brown bread and butter, dishes of olives, radishes, spring onions to start. The wine took preference over the food.
No artistic training, an advantage in some ways, though probably limited my range. And I can draw, in fact, though I choose not to. I don't believe that realistic art conveys the human truth. That's the problem with Lucian. He's so careful. It's Euston Road.
Lucian Freud. They'd been close friends, had fallen out.
All those nudes splaying out on the floorboards.
People, I think, imagine that conversations with artists or writers, great artists, must be elevated, serious, and philosophical, talking of Michelangelo. You can't talk about painting, but you can talk round it, Francis said. Francis could be serious when it suited him, and apropos of nothing, let you into his innermost thoughts. I remember a Saturday afternoon at the Colony, quiet. The TV switched on for horse racing. I just called up from the gallery.
All my best sitters are now dead.
I thought you didn't paint with them in front of you. Does it matter?
Well, you think it's strange that you've outlived them. I've been drinking since I was 15. I've been told lately I've got a problem with my kidneys. Stop drinking, you're at risk. Well, that's a good thing. I don't want to be at risk from drowning or asphyxia. I have a horror of that, but from alcohol? What's life without risk? Boring people leading boring, well, regulated lives. If you've been drunk since the age of 15, you're lucky to have an inside that is seemingly just about functioning. I've always had asthma. That's been my main bugbear since childhood. My father ran a racing stable.
I didn't know that.
Very unsuccessfully. And it may have been the horses.
Back in Ireland?
And the funny thing is that when I have got on a plane to go back there, I'm crippled with an asthma attack. I can't carry on, I have to turn back. Which is obviously psychosomatic, but maybe triggered all those years ago by the horses. I don't go to the races, never go near them. This is as close as I get. Nor dogs, if I can avoid them. I once got horsewhipped by my father's grooms.
How old were you?
14, 15, something like that.
Why?
Feminacy, probably. Then they initiated me.
What?
Buggered me. Two of them. One after the other. Which I realise I enjoyed. No complaints at all. Though I wept. Would happily have gone back for more, but that's not the way it worked. Now, let's just check the odds. Is Mr. Cawthon going to win this, and is he worth betting against?
I've no idea.
Oh, you're no good.
Last September, Klokov rang.
James, the exhibition is on.
That is fantastic, Sergei.
Yes, yes. But you must call Francis Bacon as soon as possible to get this confirmed.
Don't worry, Sergei. He wants to do it. Francis is going to come to Moscow.
That's marvellous, James. I'm thrilled.
Shall we meet at the gallery tomorrow?
Yes, yes, of course. What did you have in mind?
How big a show?
Not too big. People can get lost. It happened in New York. It was too many.
Ah, right. And which paintings?
Yes, indeed. That kind of thing.
So, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, by all means.
Francis was a polite man, generally, in his day-to-day dealings. Never rude, as someone put it, unintentionally. The art world had started to come back to London. Autumn, there was a chill round your ankles. It was time to get down to practicalities. The following day, afternoon, I waited. Francis didn't come. And the next day...
You look worried, James. Why?
You didn't come to the gallery yesterday, Francis. I was wondering if you'd changed your mind.
Oh, no, James, you mustn't think that. Very exciting about Russia. I spent the most interesting afternoons at a new little gambling place I've not come across. Couldn't go wrong. Now, what are you having to drink?
I'll have some champagne.
I don't know if you have any sense of the terrific hold that gambling can have on you. Not least if you've no money. I remember in Monte Carlo once, I wasn't out of my teens, next to nothing in my pocket and playing with small stakes, sadly. Playing three different tables. And it was as if I could hear the numbers called in advance, as if the croupier was letting me know. I came out with, what, £1,600, which was a great deal for me at the time. Marvellous, while it lasted. I'm seeing John in Aspinall's tonight for dinner. Are you interested?
I'm always interested, Francis.
Good.
Aspinall's was the gambling club, Mayfair, Curzon Street. The bottle of wine we were drinking cost more than the work of most of my artists, all supported by the fast-rising price of Francis's paintings.
I can't say when I was young I was very honest. I used to leave properties without paying the rent. No idea what I wanted to do in my life. Fall in love, perhaps. What about you, James?
What I want to do?
Love.
He's got his eyes on a young lady in Moscow.
Oh, is that where you want to go?
I think she's otherwise engaged, Francis. Some Communist Party official.
She is?
He is.
Ancient?
Younger, I think. Hard to know.
Love's the most marvellous thing when it happens, which it can do. And the world is absolutely transformed. It doesn't last. It's sexual obsession, isn't it? Enfant. And that ends when you come off. The little death. Le petit amour.
You're sounding nostalgic, Francis.
Well, young Rawhide here once asked me why I wasn't married.
Did I?
When was this?
Young enough to be splashing around in the bath.
I'm trying to remember. What did you say?
That I wasn't well off enough, something like that, or I hadn't met the right person. I thought you were just a little young for the horrific details.
I remember my parents telling me.
What, that I was a Nelly?
I don't think they put it quite like that. And me thinking, well, that will make sense.
There's two in his family, John and his brother.
Right, both of you.
Yeah, and my dad was a boxer. It came as quite a blow. He didn't know what hit him.
Where to, Governor?
Rees Mews, South Kent. No, Francis.
You don't go home with him?
Nah. He gets as much from me as he wants.
Does he?
He wants to keep on working, and do his stint, and get pissed, get a few oysters inside, get pushed into a taxi home and start again. I've no objection to that, apart from the oysters. Have you thought of marrying this woman?
Elena?
Yeah, the fashion model.
She could be a fashion model. But no.
Marry her. Gets her out of the country. Who knows? It's not even take to you.
I'd been making slow progress with Elena's reading list. Chekhov, I liked. To the point, short. No acres of description. We were at the Apollo, Wardour Street, John on the dance floor, Francis welcoming a bit of company at the bar.
Reading material? Communist manifesto?
Novels, Russian, biggies. Struggling a bit with Master and Margarita at the moment. Have you read it?
I've stopped reading novels. Odd, feel no need for them. Maybe because mainly there's no man-to-man love. Even Proust disguises it. But you must persevere, James. Are there any Russian homosexual novelists?
That's it.
Gogol, somebody said.
No.
Dead Souls. I think he came to a sticky end. Imprisoned or got silent, Siberia. This is the time of the Tsars. I did read some Dostoevsky once. The Idiot. Somebody said my work was Dostoevskian. Savage, merciless, God help me.
Meanwhile, this was October, an all-important letter of intent had arrived from Moscow. This was the framework for the official agreement between the artists and the exhibitors, in this case, the Union of Artists. There was also a request, and was the morning after the night before.
James? I need Francis' passport number.
Why?
Then I can arrange a flight for him. He must come to Moscow soon, before the show.
Before the show? But we don't have a date yet.
So we can have preliminary talks.
With who?
I need Francis to meet all the officials.
Why?
He must be assessed.
But he's one of the best-known painters in the world.
Yes, but they have to assure themselves that he is not some decadent Western monster.
Which, of course, he was. I don't think Francis will like that, Sergei.
Why on earth do they need to see me?
I didn't mention the decadent Western monster.
Do they need proof of life that I'm fully functioning? I'm not absolutely on top form, though. That's my fault. The amount of drinking. Could send them a self-portrait, of course.
It's just...
Well, why don't you go on my behalf? My representative on Earth, or the other side of the Iron Curtain. You're looking somewhat cast down, James. Now, let's move on somewhere for another drink. Look, what you could say is that I'm so sorry I will not be able to come to the Soviet Union before the spring, as I suffer very badly from asthma, and that my doctor advises me not to come till then due to the cold weather. Would that help? Surely it must have started snowing there already.
The summer had ended in a bit of a haze. Me in the haze. In my journal, I'm glum, or hungover. A delightful time with Francis, but we're getting nowhere with the exhibition. I was also spending as much time with John, who I knew to be an ally on the trip, but who didn't want to be involved in the to-ing and fro-ing of negotiations.
No, he doesn't want all that showtime bollocks. Mm. He's at it. Giving interviews and speeches, bloody boring worthies. Mm. He had some kind of panic attack in Paris. He needed a doctor. A choking, an asthma attack. It's floored him. He's 79, for God's sake. He's got an oxygen tank by his bed. It's a passion killer, he calls it.
Does he mind you cruising?
He likes it. Excites him.
Do you do anything?
Him? Nah. Never did much. That's not what it's all about. Never give in to Francis. Would that be the end of it? He doesn't think he's as good as he was, work-wise. Maybe that all goes together. Maybe he's not getting on with his exhibition because he's not got much to show.
Well, but it doesn't need to be new stuff.
You tell him that. He's doing one of me at the moment. So he says. From a photograph. He might need a label to tell you who I am. I tell him not to smudge me. What do you smudge people for?
You always hurt the one you love.
Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
It was the night of the great storm of 1987. I'd noticed a wind getting up on my wandering way back home, thought no more about it. The following day, Soho was a ghost town. Cars overturned, properties closed. Francis had rung and suggested we meet at the Colony. A few old habitués had struggled in.
The gallery okay?
No damage. A tree in the road outside my flat just missed a car. I slept through.
My father did something like that. A neighbour's barn caught fire. Sound of the fire engines. Commotion, shouts and cries. Burning, a roof crashed in. My mother woke up and I think even went out. The following morning, she asked him if he'd had a good night. And he said, having snored appallingly through the entire affair, no, hardly slept at all, which was his usual mode.
Some streets had been closed, and we settled for lunch at a new restaurant we didn't know.
Spaghetti with walnuts and olive oil.
A mediocre meal didn't help what follows.
I think we need to get down to organising the practicalities of the exhibition, Francis.
Do you?
As well as an ability to tolerate great amounts of alcohol, life in Francis's inner circle required a certain ease of attitude.
The Brunello di Montalcino.
I thought I'd get in before the serious drinking.
The wine's quite tolerable.
I wondered if you'd spoken to your gallery yet.
Have you?
Me?
As you're so keen, you do it.
It was the first sign of difficulty. Don't give in to him, John had said.
I can't just stroll into the gallery and say, hi, I'm James. You know, tell them I'm taking their celebrated artist to Moscow. It's you that needs to do the setting up. You need to set the meeting up.
Set up the meeting?
That's what I'm saying.
Why are you telling me what to do?
I've no formal role in these negotiations.
Negotiations? Over what? The spoils? Negotiations? That's Ian Smith in Rhodesia. That's Ho Chi Minh.
Sorry.
Negotiations. What a process. What a farce. Specifications, requirements, logistics. Come to Moscow. We want to have a look at you. Ludicrous. That was your part in these negotiations. Why can't you just say no?
Yes, I'm sorry if you're feeling...
Who are you? You're just a young man in a hurry who's latched on to me to get himself some kudos and hoping to get some sales as a result of these negotiations.
Francis, it isn't at
all. Bertrand Conrad, why don't you call your gallery Kudos? That would be a good name for it. More catchy. Yes, relaunch, James. Relaunch as Kudos. I'll attend the opening. Mr. Bacon himself would be honoured to attend, only he doesn't have anything to tell him because...
What you're talking about?
Where are you going?
You'll have to excuse me. I have a small business to run. Potters and so on.
Every artist I've ever worked with has been challenging. People are horrible, scum, everyone's wanting, life's horrible. The anger, the petulance, it was a way of keeping people at bay. And Francis was a solitary man who needed people to entertain, not pressure him. But at 6 in the morning, with the fierce concentration of a hangover, he would be at work on a painting. And then midday...
James, is that you?
As if the previous contretemps hadn't happened.
James? James, is that you? Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, listen, I do hope you don't mind me calling, but I wondered if by any chance we could meet at the Ritz this evening. And I've rung the Marlborough. I don't know if you've met Valerie Beston, who looks after me at the gallery. She would be most happy to see you and is expecting you to call.
As he well knows, he's too great an eminence to let anyone else choose the pictures for him. And then there's the problem, if that's what he wants, which I'm not sure he's thought about...
Valerie from the gallery.
...of obtaining work from any private collectors who would be understandably anxious about letting their valuable paintings get shipped out to what's still, after all, a rogue state.
It's changing.
You've been out there?
A guy from the British Council. They supported British artists abroad.
The idea for the show came from Mr. Birch.
I see. I hadn't realised that. It was a bit of a puzzle where the idea for this suddenly came from. The left field, you might say.
He is revered. There are artists there who pass copies of magazines with photographic, black and white, examples of his work from hand to hand.
What's that, is that? Revered?
I've thought about this. He's brutal. Shows the way we are, or the way he sees it. Not the way we should be. Clear-eyed. They maybe understand that better than us.
No, so who are the people that matter at this union of artists?
I'm dealing with a man called Claude.
Meetings about insurance, lorries trundling through Poland. This was before the Berlin Wall came down. With paintings worth millions. It was out of my hands.
If I were an owner, I'd be nervous. Does the Union of Soviet Artists have any reserves of cash?
I don't know.
Not my show anymore. I was beginning to feel the pressure of all those constant nights out in Soho. Fine dining, turbot and sole and lobster and oysters and the accumulated alcohol.
Where are you going?
India.
Why?
He fancies a curry, Francis.
I've had a decent sale.
I'd rung Klokov, whom I'd not heard from for a time. He said he was about to leave for Paris and would hope to get over to London to meet Francis, but it didn't seem that likely. I'd said, it was out of my hands now.
He came to London after all.
A month later, the White Tower restaurant.
I always used to want to be elsewhere and then just do it. Just don't do it smash. The trip suited you, James. You're looking very well. It wasn't the rainy season, was it? I could never work it out.
Not the rainy season. Klokov came to London.
Well, didn't you give him my phone number?
I don't think so.
Well, somebody must have.
It's KGB.
Well, I thought him extraordinary. You didn't tell me he was a friend of Yuri Gagarin.
Didn't I?
I remember two Russian sailors in Berlin once in 1929. They were very good to me. One looked just like Gagarin. Very handsome. And this is long before Sputnik.
Tell him what worried him and how he put it.
Well, he was very charming, but his masters were obviously a little, well, more than a little worried about my pictures being too cock-enhancing, was the phrase. That they were. Wanted photographs and so on. He was clearly distancing himself from all this bollock, so to speak.
How did you respond?
Well, he said that any outspokenly gay subjects, two male figures on a bed or mattress or anything, might be misunderstood by the Soviet public. I said I'd thought they'd understand it all too well. So, no wrestlers, nothing like that.
Oh, that's a pity. I think give it them with both barrels. They'd really understand the impact of that.
What, men doing unspeakable things to one another? Or maybe just wrestling? Who knows?
So you're censoring yourself?
When you're young, some fuss is always a bonus. Bit of scandal, free publicity. I don't need that. No point in any distraction from the main point of this show.
This was a different Francis with his mind on the show. I would have liked to have been at that meeting.
Where did you meet?
Wilton's.
I felt I'd missed a key encounter.
Well, very white tablecloth.
Half lemons wrapped in gauze.
What did he have to eat?
Bread and butter pudding.
That's called leftovers in our house.
Did he tell you about his time as a flamethrower?
No.
Torched villages. The Americans have a term for it. Vietnam. Torching the hall. Something like that. KGB training. You learn how to kill people.
Good heavens, how very interesting.
But you said how much you like the potted shrimp.
People complain about my paintings. Which can't be more horrific than life itself.
In my journal, I write, at some level, Francis continues to work with me as if I was solely in charge of the show. Accommodating, whatever venue is suitable, popular. But precise, as ever, with his requirements. I was sent out to Moscow, my third visit, to measure up the exhibition space with instructions, a long architectural tape, and copies of The Face for Elena. That included a small feature on her designs on one of the inside pages.
Is that it, James? They not said I designed the Pierre Cardin exhibition in Moscow.
Well, I didn't know you had. Cardin.
Elena helped organize an exhibition of his designs. She made sets. It was a big success.
Oh.
That is why she was part of the Soviet delegation in Paris.
I didn't know that. I thought you said Elena was allowed to travel because...
Hmm?
No, I didn't know that.
Sergei is friends of Cardin.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't know he's a friend.
Oh.
It seemed there was always more to learn, some of which was true. Elena's father, it turned out, had not invented the washing machine as she'd claimed. I have no explanation for this. He was in the military. Meanwhile, we were at Klokov's apartment, central Moscow, spacious and open, with a terrace.
Why is Francis so important, James?
Summer again, 1988, and warm.
He rescued the human figure. Abstraction was all the rage. He thinks all that is just pattern, decoration. And I think he caught the darkness of our times.
Tell me what you mean.
Well, there was the war, and afterwards, prison camps and the bomb. Disturbing, anxious times, what was in the air. The age of anxiety.
So, who does he influence?
It doesn't work like that. Or not directly. Does it?
Everyone is interested in influence and power.
Perhaps.
Elena had a strong desire to make a mark on the world, and more than enough talent to do it.
Do you think your family will come to this exhibition?
No. But Sergei hopes that Raisa Gorbachev will visit.
Ah, she is very elegant. She made much of a hit in the West. Very different from our ideas of other Politburo wives.
It was Gorbachev, Elena hoped, who would open the door to her future.
My designs will not achieve success in Moscow. I look too much to the past.
Retro. I like your designs. They would do well in London.
Here, they look to the future. Always tomorrow.
When it came out, it was almost unbidden.
Why don't we get married?
You're joking, James.
I'm serious, Elena. Marry me and come to the West.
I don't know what I expected. I wondered if she felt we were being monitored.
We must go inside, James.
I've offended you.
James, when you came to Moscow first time, you touched my soul.
But it sounded like a line from a novel.
Настоящие собственники. Очень эгоистичные. I'm saying, James, that you have to make sure you're duly mentioned in the catalog. The exhibition was your idea.
Well...
And the Marlboro Gallery are very possessive. Make sure your name is in there.
Yes, well, it's happening.
You know, they suggested to me the Pushkin as the only possible venue. Mm. Because that's the only possible venue they've heard of. The Union of Artists is perfect for us, I'm sure.
And, as with critical, life-changing moments in those Chekhov stories I was reading, my proposal got lost among the salad and pickled cucumbers. Looking back, I'd fallen in love with the country as much as the person. The Russia bug, it's called, unromantically. Back in London, Francis was full of ideas of how the catalogue should look, a new portrait of John on the cover, and what would be in it. He was happy with the venue. The Union of Artists Gallery, opposite Gorky Park.
The location's ideal for our purposes, and the building itself is handsome. The light bulbs are a bit wonky. They don't seem to be able to do anything about that.
Why is that?
A puzzle. There's about five people for every job. They're not short of electricians.
Many hands.
Yeah, quite. But the rooms are tall enough, light enough.
The date was set. We had the vital floor plan, the catalogue was underway. There were hiccups, I gathered, over the funding. Cured. Francis himself would cover many of the costs, serious money, which suggested commitment. But Francis is worried about the exhibition, I write in my journal. Won't tell me why. And he's distancing himself, I can tell, despite his assurances. There was a press release, a fanfare from the British Council announcing the show. No mention of me in dispatches. It's potted history of how this coup had come about. In Moscow, September 22nd, 1988, it said, a press conference will take place at 4 p.m. immediately before the opening, which Francis Bacon himself hopes to attend. Well, this was their moment, and Francis was their man. But I had my doubts. It was the hopes to attend troubled me.
He's in a terrible mood. How are you feeling?
What do you mean?
John brought the news.
He's not going. He told me.
I've been wondering for some time.
Yeah. All that protocol, flaming flummery. A jamboree, he says, and he can't stand it. Speeches, tea at the embassy, aeroplanes, getting there, customs. He's talking about taking his doctor with him and oxygen cylinders, faffing about where the hospitals are, all of that. He can't speak the language. All he wants to do is go to his own exhibition, take the night train to Leningrad to see the Rembrandts at the Hermitage. It's a bloody nightmare. Now he's blaming you.
Me?
Getting him involved. Not warning him about all this.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm on your side. I've told him to put it out of his stupid head. Yeah, too right. He wants me to go in his place. And I think you should show me around. Right, hold on to the rope.
There you go. How do you manage late night?
Just sat here. It's my defeat.
And so I reached the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, where Francis worked. Up a near vertiginous staircase to the second floor of a small, mews house. A garage, storeroom, and washing machine taking up the ground floor. It was like a skip, the studio, full of rags and paint, shambles. The memories and the damage, Francis called it. There was a suitcase, packed. The only neat item about the place. I thought, has he changed his mind?
I wish I were going with you, but I can't.
No one knows, he said.
But it's impossible for people to go on creating marvellous things. Still, I'll be dead when the real verdict comes in. What people don't realise about an exhibition is that an artist is looking at his failures.
Breakfast, eggs, bacon, which he cooked. As usual, he was dissatisfied with his latest work.
Is that what you think?
When I was young, I didn't have a real subject. It's through my life and knowing other people that the subject really grows. Which people seem to have taken to. Or enough people. You find yourself famous. And it means nothing. It's just the work, which can go wrong at any time. Who knows, I may be forgotten in 50 years' time, certainly out of fashion. It's telling people you've been alive. That's what it's about. Now, somebody said I've never painted happiness, though I've been happy. How I wish I was going with you. I've got something for you. It's for your expenses, James. Thank you.
A cheque for £3,000.
I've been learning a bit of Russian. Tapes. It's very soothing. I've not got very far. What to order in the restaurant and so on. If anything's available, of course. But from what you say, the Russians need bacon more than Francis Bacon. Ho, ho. But maybe, who knows? They'll see the art of going too far.
The art of going too far. I like that. I'll remember that.
So much I still want to do, James.
There were queues round the block, greater than those for Lenin's tomb. The exhibition, a microcosm, it was said, of the much bigger freedom that was to arrive, however briefly, in the USSR. There was controversy.
I don't know if Russia ready for such pictures. They're monsters. Blood and meat.
Maybe everyone has blood on their hands.
I would not like to see these paintings on my walls every day, James.
And one further thing, though I didn't know it for years,
Elena had reported all of our conversations to the KGB. The transcripts ran to thousands of pages. Quite routine, apparently. Silly of me to think otherwise.
I have regrets, of course. I mean, my non-attendance, but my asthma prevented it. I had a severe attack in Paris at the exhibition there, and you don't forget it. It was a missed opportunity, but there's always something of an obituary about an exhibition, and as I've got older, maybe you're running away from that. And the feeling that you could have done much better. Well, that's always been the case, but there it is.
That sounds rather final. You continue to paint?
Certainly. It's a way of life for me. I mean, what else would I do?
But, like some of the racehorses he so enjoyed betting on, he was losing strength and stamina towards the end, which came 3 years later, 1992. I heard the news, I was in Moscow, and rang back to London, things easier then, to confirm. Thanks for all your work with the exhibition, he'd said to me that summer when I was helping make the show happen, and that he would like to give me a painting as compensation. He doesn't want a painting, Francis, John said. I was too overwhelmed or shy that day to contradict him. I should add that Klokov was more successful and given a small study of John, intended, I think, for the Pushkin Museum. Took it himself to Sotheby's, using the money to buy, I was told, a snake farm in Uzbekistan, where he had plans to produce cobra venom commercially as a health tonic. The business failed. I think of life as meaningless, he once said to me.
I admire people who have some religious sense, but they're holding on to a hoax. I think life's totally meaningless. We give it meaning through our existence. It was only when I was 30 or so that I gradually began to open up shyness and so forth, have any real confidence in myself at all, really, not just show. Most people, I look around me here in Soho, get there, do it at a much younger age. So I've always feel I've wasted so many years of my life while always having a gift, I suppose, of getting by. And maybe painting's been my way of getting by. My parents never wanted me to be a painter. But you persist. This curious, fluid medium. And subjects, images that choose you. And people say there's a sense of mortality about my paintings. I have to say, I find them exhilarating.
Exhilarated despair?
Yes. Yes. You can be totally without hope and optimistic. I'll go with that.
In Bacon in Moscow, James Birch was played by Luke Norris and Francis Bacon by Timothy Spall. Sergei Klokov was played by Simonas Mazura, Elena Kudyakova by Amrita Acharya, John Edwards by John Hopkins, Bob Chensner by Al Barkley, and Vasily by Michael Cheripashinets. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Bacon in Moscow was adapted by Stephen Wakelam from the memoir by James Birch, and was directed and produced by Jeremy Mortimer. It is a reduced listening production for BBC Radio 3.
Well, if you enjoyed that, don't forget there's a wonderful collection of dramas waiting for you to listen to at your leisure on BBC Sounds, from contemporary and experimental works to the classics. Amongst the offerings there is Katie Hymm's love letter to radio drama Come Closer Now, as last year, 2023, marked 100 years of the genre. Well, it's still hard to believe we are now in 2024. Now, if you need a bit of help or New Year's inspiration building a music library, or you're wondering what to buy with that record voucher you got for Christmas, Hannah French might just be able to help. She's up next.
BBC Radio 3, the home of discovery.
Will I sing it like that? Will I tune my voice here? How far can I push the limits and how high can I go?
The home of curiosity.
I don't know if anyone's ever explained classical music to you like that before.
I think music has that way of calming the soul and focusing the soul.
The home of unique performances you won't get anywhere else.
Well, what a completely thrilling and exuberant performance.
BBC Radio 3, the home of classical music. On your radio, on your smart speaker, and on BBC Sounds.
Good evening. It's 9 o'clock on BBC Radio 3. And here's Hannah French with more from the recordings featured on yesterday's Record Review.
Hello. Welcome to the first Record Review Extra of the new year. And we're off to an adventurous start.